Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
So it's about 12:30 p.m. Central Time this past Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. Michigan scores a touchdown to go up 28-0 on the Illini, and the route is on.
It is a rollout and a throw to the end zone to Eubanks. Touchdown, Michigan, 27-0 Wolverines.
After the touchdown and the PAT, Wolverines kicker Jake Moody kicks the ball off to the Illinois 11-yard line, where it's returned by Chase Brown for a modest gain.
Fielded on the 10-yard line by Brown and up to the 26.
Brown catches the ball, runs it out to the Illinois 26. It's a completely unremarkable play in every respect except one. Illinois had not announced until just 2 hours before Brown returned that kickoff that his NCAA transfer waiver had been approved. Brown had been waiting for 6 weeks on word from the NCAA as to whether he'd be eligible to play at all this season.
I think I learned about it as soon as Chase learned about it.
That's the voice of Rachel Brown, Chase's mom, who says that she and her family were given the good news on Friday.
So it wasn't a whole lot of preparation for him. I think he had sort of just settled into the fact he was just going to redshirt the whole year, wasn't going to be able to play.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 16th, and you are listening to the College Football Daily, dedicated to catching you up on and breaking down the day's college football news, all within 15 minutes or fewer. My name is Connor Tapp, and I'm joined today by 24/7 Sports College Sports editor Trey Scott, who called up Rachel Brown, Chase Brown's mom, and also talked to Jeremy Werner from IllinoisEnquirer.com for this story on a really interesting transfer situation here.
Connor, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the transfer portal. We devoted an episode to it.
Yeah.
And I thought about how we spent almost all summer talking about the transfer portal, and especially the transfer portal waiver requests and who gets denied and who gets approved, and talking about Tate Martell eligible immediately. Well, Luke Ford at Illinois isn't, and Luke Ford, you know, moved home to be closer to his ailing grandparents. And we talked about Brock Hoffman at Virginia Tech, and didn't that seem like that was sort of the talk of the offseason, was who really knows who's going to get approved?
Yeah, there was a moment where it seemed like, oh, we just have free agency in college football now. And then the decisions became more and more erratic. And there's an information issue in play here where the NCAA can't just come out and say, well, we denied this player's request for X, Y, and Z reasons, because there are privacy laws in place prohibiting them from doing that. And that makes sense. You want to protect the privacy of these student athletes. But a side effect of that is I don't think anybody really understands what the rubric is for determining whether a player who has asked for a request to who's transferred and wants a waiver to play immediately, whether that decision is going to be a yes or a no.
Yeah, and not shocking that in the case of the NCAA, that decision can sometimes take a little bit longer than you want it to. Chase Brown was not on my radar as someone who's transfer appeal we should watch. Like, he wasn't getting the news headlines of a Luke Ford or Brock Hoffman. But
where was he transferring from?
So Chase Brown was transferring from Western Michigan, where he, as a freshman last year, he was the number three running back on the team, had 352 yards on 71 carries. That's an average of 5. And he's headed to Illinois, where his twin brother Sidney's on the team. And Illinois, they were just got crushed as far as running back depth this season when Mike Epstein, one of their best players, suffered that week one ACL tear. Well, while this is all happening, Chase Brown's waiting to hear from the NCAA on whether he's going to be eligible this season. And Chase Brown, on Saturday at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. Eastern time, Illinois announces that Chase Brown will be eligible to play in the game against Michigan 1 hour later.
That's wild.
So we've got a guy who all of a sudden is ready to play after spending 6 weeks not thinking he's going to play.
Right.
And I reached out to the mom, Rachel Brown, and the situation is a little bit complicated. She's in Canada. Chase spent the last 2 years of high school playing high school football in Florida. So she's obviously talks to Chase all the time, but she wasn't, you know, intimately involved in the details of the waiver appeal. She didn't write the letter, so to speak, right, for the appeal. But she does confirm, and we'll roll a few clips in a little bit, she does confirm that the basis of Chase's waiver, in addition to his brother being on the team, was that Chase had gone to Western Michigan to be a pilot, to study aviation. And he gets there, and they tell him that the football scholarship will not cover the cost of the aviation classes.
Mm.
That's $60,000. So, and as Rachel says in our interview, Chase wants to be a pilot, not sit in the control tower.
And this is presumably, I feel like this isn't something like you get on campus and you like meet with your guidance counselor and you're like, I think I want to be a pilot. It feels like maybe you know going in.
Yeah.
That you wanted to be a pilot?
Not only did he know going in, the family was under the impression that this would be no issue. Aviation classes would be covered.
Wow. So this is a little different.
Yeah. This is, we've got a lot of layers here. Not only do we have someone who took them 6 weeks to decide, we've got, and the family finds out on Friday night before Saturday. So it's, you know, 24 hours ahead. It takes them six games to decide. And it's a pretty compelling case to be eligible immediately.
Right.
That I'm not saying you were misled, but you weren't really, you kind of didn't get what you were coming to play for.
Right.
Because otherwise Chase says he would have just gone to Illinois with his brother Sidney, who's a sophomore on the team. So what we've got here is it's pretty interesting. And I think it's a slam dunk. This is why he would be approved to be eligible. I just wonder why the NCAA took 6 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, not to speculate, but you do wonder with the transfer portal being open, and you know, I think we all agree that it's good, it's a net positive, but with more people transferring now than before because you've reduced some of the barriers, like there's a real increase to the administrative burden of like looking at these cases, collecting the facts that you need, and making a judicious decision on them.
Yeah, and she does even mention up, I asked her, I said, do you think this is a complicated process? And Rachel brings up Luke Ford, a teammate of Chase's at Illinois, who was in the headlines, you know, this summer when his waiver got denied and then his appeal got denied as well. And, you know, she's like, morally, I think Luke Ford should be eligible.
I know when the waiver was granted for Chase, a lot of people were talking about sort of other situations where, you know, ideally other people should have got a waiver and for really good reasons and didn't. You know, and there were a lot of comments about, is it Luke Ford?
Yes, Luke Ford.
And his waiver not being granted. I don't know very much about that situation. Morally speaking, I feel like with his situation, he probably should have. But it's all very legal, right?
Absolutely.
Like, to make it a fair play field for everybody. I'm sure just because of Chase not being able to, like, being promised a program and not being able to do that, I think that had a lot to do with Chase's waiver being like his waiver going through. So.
No, I think so too.
I assume it's as easy to understand and follow as like any legal document, right?
Right.
Any sort of, right? Not very. I assume it's not very easy to understand. Well, yeah, because we still don't understand fully, or maybe it's just myself, but I don't fully understand how his got through when others were denied, I guess.
The College Football Daily will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On to the news and the notable. USC Trojans leading rusher Vave Malapai is out for the season. In his absence, the Trojans are going to lean heavily on Marquise Stepp and Stephen Carr. Stepp is sort of a Lindale White redux, big, bruising 235-pound running back. Stephen Carr is a former five-star recruit who was great as a freshman in 2017, has not done much since. Down in Louisville, Juwan Pass, remember that injury he suffered in week two? After playing pretty well in week one against Notre Dame. Well, he has not played since that week two game. And in fact, he's had toe surgery and will miss the rest of the season. In his absence, the Cardinals have pretty effectively played two quarterbacks. Probably going to see both Saturday against Clemson. West Virginia has had a bad year, bad season, had a really bad Tuesday. Wide receiver Tevin Bush entered the transfer portal. Linebacker Vandarius Cowan, a transfer from Alabama, is out for the season. And quarterback Austin Kendall is questionable for a game Saturday that probably means a lot to him, a homecoming to Oklahoma where he was once Kyler Murray's backup. Speaking of the Sooners, tight end Grant Calcaterra is going to miss a second game Saturday against West Virginia. Did not suit up last week against Texas. One of the best tight ends in the country last year, Calcaterra has been slowed this season by a variety of issues. He has just five catches. Another tight end, Oregon's Jacob Breland, who actually leads the Ducks in receptions, yards, and touchdowns, is out for the season as well. You remember Oregon had all those wide receiver injuries this preseason. The Ducks play Washington on Saturday in a game that maybe decides the Pac-12 North. Finally, Vanderbilt Athletic Director Malcolm Turner was noncommittal about Derek Mason's future in a radio interview on Tuesday. The Commodores are 1-5, and in case you missed it, just lost at home to a very bad UNLV team. That's going to do it for today's episode of the College Football Daily. If you appreciate what we're doing, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and drop us a line in the reviews. For Connor Tapp and our producer, Tawny Leavitt, I'm Trey Scott. We'll see you Thursday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.